we shall not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only when I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So our message is entitled, The Hearing of Faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go to your word this morning, we pray you'll use it in our lives to teach us, to grow us, and to change us. Lord, we give you this service, and we pray that you would meet with us and that Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be magnified through it. So, Lord, may we leave and say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul here in Galatians chapter 3 is explaining the power of the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. And he's, in a way as well, rebuking the Galatian Christians because they had allowed some people to come in, primarily some Judaizers to come in and say, okay, you got saved, that's great, but now you need to keep the law. Now you need to do this and do that. And there's a lot of groups still doing that today, trying to add to salvation, trying to say that trusting Jesus Christ isn't enough. And that's what was going on there in Galatia. And so Paul is reminding them, verse 1, he says, who hath bewitched you? What a word. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. They weren't growing like they should have in their faith. They were getting deceived by these people coming in, bringing in false prophecies. And they were essentially backsliding in their faith. And you know, according to God's Word, we're either going forward or we're going backward. There's no middle ground with Christianity. You know, you don't just put it in the end and sit there in neutral. You're either growing and going forward for God or you're going backward for God. Jeremiah actually talked about that. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 24. And the Galatians, unfortunately, were an example, just like the Corinthians, of a group of Christians who had slipped back. The Corinthians, of course, had slipped back and become more carnal, but the Galatians had slipped back in their doctrinal understanding and allowed these false doctrines to pollute them. But notice here in Jeremiah 7, verse 24, the Bible says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Backward and not forward. That was the Galatian Christians. They had gone backward. And so back in our passage, Galatians 3, Paul says to them, verse 2, this only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which is it? Did you receive the gospel through works or through faith? And by the way, the Bible is very clear that those two things cannot be mixed. Romans chapter 11, let's turn over there if we could, where the Bible tells us grace and works cannot be mixed. It's one or the other. And most groups out there are trying to tell people, yeah, okay, you need to believe in Jesus, but you also got to get baptized. You also got to keep the Ten Commandments. You also got to be faithful to church. You also got to do this and do this. And that's mixing grace and works. You can't do it. Notice Romans 11:6, what it says. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. They did not receive the Spirit by the works of the law. They received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. But they had allowed people to come in and confuse them and make them think that there was more to it. Now, when we get saved, while you're in Romans, look at chapter 8, verse 9. When we get saved, something great happens. The Holy Ghost moves in. We do receive the Spirit of God. He does indwell us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, but if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if we can lose the Spirit of God, then we can lose our salvation. Of course, we can't, because the Bible says we're sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul is asking these Galatian Christians, did you receive the Spirit of God? Did you receive salvation by works or by faith? Which was it? Now, the obvious answer is out there, and they knew what the obvious answer was, but Paul's trying to teach them something. He's trying to set them straight on their doctrine. And it's still true today, 2,000 years later, that we receive the Spirit of God, we receive salvation by the hearing of faith. And that's the only way. By the hearing of faith, we get saved. If you would, look at Ephesians chapter 1, which explains this for us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, which makes it very clear. The book right after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye also, after that you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice in verse 12, he mentions trusted in Christ, verse 13, in whom also ye trusted. But then on down in verse 13, it says, in whom also, after that ye believed. Believing and trusting are the same thing. God says so in this verse. To believe in Christ is to trust Christ. And to trust Christ is to believe on Christ. And Paul says to them, did you receive the Spirit of God by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? As we read here, it's when we hear the gospel, here in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom after that you heard the word of truth. You hear the word of truth, you hear the gospel, and when you do, what happens? You believe. And then what happens? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how it works. You hear the gospel, and by faith you believe the gospel, you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul is reminding these Galatians of that. You received the Holy Spirit of God by the hearing of faith. And so on back in our passage, Galatians 3, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Salvation is a gift that God gives to us on behalf of what Jesus did. It's paid for. And we receive it by trusting Christ, by believing what Jesus did for us on the cross, and God gives us salvation. And heaven's our home. It's done. So we're no longer now trying to earn, we talked about this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, we're no longer trying to earn God's favor. We already have God's favor. We're already accepted in the Beloved. We're serving Jesus because we love Him, because we're grateful He saved us. We want to please Him. We don't serve Jesus to try to earn God's favor. And that's what Paul is saying. You began in the Spirit in verse 3. Are you made perfect by the flesh? Can you really do anything to improve upon what's already happened in your life? By doing works? Can those good works make you any more saved, or can they make you any more worthy of heaven? No. And that's where the Galatians were confused. And so many people today are confused. Well, yeah, I have salvation. Yeah, Jesus saved me. But now I've got to do this and this and this. No. You don't have to do anything to get to heaven. It's done. Now, we should do good works because we love Jesus. But it's not to try to earn heaven. That's done. So they began in the Spirit. And now they're thinking, well, we need to add to that. We need to perfect upon that with the flesh. Our flesh is dead. Our flesh can't please God. Look at Philippians chapter 3, if you would, over two books to the right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Can't trust it. That's why we don't appeal to it in our worship service. And that's why we don't rely upon it to serve the Lord. Because we can't trust it. We can't have confidence in the flesh. The flesh is nothing but trouble. The flesh is enmity with God. And here the Galatians have been confused by these people coming in and saying, "Now you need to please God by doing this and this, and then maybe He'll let you have heaven." No. Don't trust the flesh. Don't have confidence in the flesh. And by the way, we as Christians, we can fall into this trap if we're not careful. We can say, "Well, you know, I've been teaching this Sunday school class for 20 years. I don't need to pray for wisdom. I know how to do it. I can just go and do it." Or, "I've been doing this particular ministry forever. I don't need to pray first. I don't need God's direction or power or wisdom. I'll just do it." And when we do that, what are we having but confidence in the flesh? We're trusting that we know what we're doing. We've got it all figured out. Why do we need to pray about it? Why do we need to commit it to the Lord? Why? Because we're sinners. And our flesh is an enemy of God, and we can't trust it. We need God's guidance and strength and wisdom and power to do anything for God. And the Galatians had lost sight of that. So they received the Spirit of God. They received salvation by the hearing of faith. By believing the gospel and trusting Jesus Christ, they received salvation. And you can't improve upon that with the flesh. Doesn't the Bible say in Isaiah 64 that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? When we do good works, what are they to God? They're not worth anything. Back in our passage, Galatians 3, verse 4, "Have you suffered so many things in vain?" You see, the Galatian Christians, their suffering was different than other churches. Other churches have been persecuted by losing maybe favor with the community, or maybe some of the families in the church had been kicked out of their families and lost their jobs or whatever. But the Galatian church, their trial was a different form. They had been tested with false teachers and false prophets. But one thing that we can glean from this passage is, if you have received the Spirit of God by faith, you're going to suffer. Because it's a natural part of the Christian life. Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's a promise that we can bank on. We're going to have afflictions. And the Galatians have been going through trials, and Paul was saying, "You're going through all these trials, you're suffering, you receive the salvation by trusting in the Lord, by the hearing of faith, and now you're going through all these trials. Is that in vain? Is your salvation not secure?" And of course, it is secure. And those sufferings are not in vain. They're for our good. They're for our benefit. God uses them to refine us and to grow us and make us more like Jesus. You know, 1 Peter 1:7 says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You mean our faith might get tried with fire? Absolutely. But the answer isn't the flesh. The answer isn't to trust the flesh. The answer isn't to go back and say, "Well, obviously I'm going through these trials because I haven't done enough good works." It doesn't work like that in God's system. You're probably going through these trials because God's trying to develop you and grow you and make you more like Jesus. If you know it's not chastisement, it's for your good. And no, God's not trying to say, "Well, do more good works and I'll take the trial away." The Galatians were confused. Let's not get confused. We receive the Spirit of God by the hearing of faith and nothing else. Right? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. But then he goes on to remind them, go back to our passage, not only are we saved by the hearing of faith, but he says in verse 5, He therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now this is a different hearing of faith. The first hearing of faith was our salvation. Now he's talking about the hearing of faith after we're saved. We get saved by hearing the gospel and believing on Jesus Christ. That's the hearing of faith. But you know what? We also grow in our Christianity by the hearing of faith. One of the most powerful things in our walk, according to God, is the hearing of faith. Most of you know it, but look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Great truth. What does God say? Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You mean our faith actually grows when we hear the Word of God? Absolutely. You know, when God set up the church system, He set it up the way He chose to set it up. Now, I've said this to many people. You know, I can worship God on the mountaintop. I don't need to go to church. I just say, that's all true. But church wasn't man's idea. It was God's idea. God's the one that said we needed to assemble. God's the one that said that we need preaching. Why else would He have insisted that there be preachers and command for them to feed the flock and preach the word? Why? Why did He give those commands? Unless they were important. Because they're important. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the greatest ways that we grow is when we choose to be faithful to God's house, and through the hearing of faith, God grows us. And He reminded the Galatians, those that minister to you the Spirit, they do it through the hearing of faith. One of the ways that you will grow is through the hearing of faith. We're told in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're told to grow. And God tells us we will grow through the hearing of faith. Go, if you would, to Psalm 92 and verse 13. Psalm 92, verse 13. And so these people that were ministering to the Galatian Christians, they were doing it by the hearing of faith. The Bible, when Paul wrote to Timothy, what did he say? Preach the word. Why would he tell Timothy? Why was it so important that he preached the word? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at Psalm 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants His people to be planted in the house of the Lord so that their faith can grow by the hearing of faith. It's God's plan. It's not man's plan. It's God's plan. And it all hinges around a truth that the world doesn't understand. You see, so many people go to church and they think it's about something else. They think it's about having a good time. They think it's about maybe being entertained in some way. Or maybe it's about their own enjoyment. You know, I've heard charismatics talk sometime and they say, oh, I really enjoyed the worship today. Well, that isn't the point. We don't go to church to enjoy the worship. We go to church to offer God worship. Did He get worship? Did He get praised? Did He get lifted up? Whether or not we enjoy it isn't the issue. It's about Him. And it's also about this book. That's why we go to church. And that, again, that's what the world doesn't understand. It hinges around the fact that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that it's not like a magic formula or anything, but There is no other book on earth that has the power of this book. There is no book that, according to God's Word, through its preaching, through its reading, through its meditating, through its memorization, our lives are literally changed. That's pretty amazing. And if we look back on our Christian lives, and hopefully we'll see that we have grown and developed in our faith, the Word of God was there and was an integral part of that growth. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to these Galatians and to us. We get saved by the hearing of faith, and we grow by the hearing of faith. And we minister by the hearing of faith. It's about hearing the Word. And God wants Christians to get a hold of that truth. It's about the Word and how important it is that we get it as much as we can, that we might grow. Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. When Paul was giving Timothy instructions, he made a statement about the local church that's really, when you look at it, it's an amazing statement. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Look at this last phrase. "The pillar and ground of the truth." What a statement. Think about what God is saying there. He is saying that the church of God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Wow. That's pretty amazing. So a church has to be founded on the Word of God, or it's not a biblical church. But God's people need to expose themselves to the Word of God if they expect to grow by the hearing of faith. But the Galatians had lost the plot and thought, no, it's not about the Word. It's not about what we hear. It's about works. And the whole book of Galatians is Paul trying to correct them from this wrong thinking about works versus grace. Let's not get confused. We get saved by the hearing of faith. And our Christian life is about pleasing God and about growing in our faith through the hearing of faith, through the power of His Word, His Holy Spirit. It's not about us trying to earn God's favor. We already have His favor. Yes, He wants us to serve Him. That's why He left us here, to make a difference. But it's not so that we can stand before the quote-unquote pearly gates that we hear about all the time and have God say, "Oh, good job on all those works. I'm going to let you in." No. It's all about, do you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your account or not? And that's it. Then, yes, we'll be judged after that at the judgment seat of Christ for our works, but that's only for the purpose of determining if we get any additional rewards beside heaven. But again, that's not to be our motive anyway. Our motive is because, praise God, He gave us salvation at the hearing of faith. So we got saved by the hearing of faith, and we grow by the hearing of faith. We can't rely on the flesh. It's going to lead us astray every time. And the Galatians had to learn that lesson, and sometimes we do too. But praise God for the hearing of faith through the power of the gospel, and through the power of God's amazing Word. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this opportunity.